Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. A warm welcome to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online and on our catch-up service. We're glad to have each of you join us for worship in this time. One main intimation to share at the start, a reminder that this coming Thursday, the 9th of September, we'll have our next meeting of the Kirk Session, which will be held online via Teams starting at 7:30 p.m. So all elders of the church, please mark your diaries for Kirk Session on Thursday. So with that shared now, we will, as we know, we're in partnership with our neighboring churches in Blair Duff, Chapel of Geary, Clooney Moneymusk, Kintore, and Echt and Midmar. And so to stay aware of what's happening with our partner churches, we'll now watch the weekly blether of the ministers together.
Hello, folks, and welcome. We actually haven't planned who was going to host this, so I'm just going to start speaking. So it's lovely that we can once again join together online whenever we're watching this and to have a chat about what's going on. So I'll just speak very briefly about what's happening at Clooney Moneymusk before I hand over first to Sheila and then to Stella and then to Joshua and then to Neil. And we'll see that we've got two other guests with us, and we'll be introduced when we get to these points. So, Moneymusk, last week I said that there'll be two meetings of the Mainly Music Group. We're actually deciding just to go with one meeting, and it starts a week on Wednesday. And that's going to be, we're actually using the large hall at Moneymusk and a small hall adjacent, so that it's two halls rather than just two meetings using the one hall. So that's starting, and we're looking forward to that. And I think that's it. We're worshipping now in Moneymusk for the month of September, services at 10 o'clock. So that's all I think that I need to speak about for Moneymusk, because there's a lot going on. Sheila, what's happening at Echt and Midmar?
Well, good morning to everybody. It's good to be with you today. I'm going to be on Sunday morning with the people of Blair Duff and Chapel of Geary, leading worship in Chapel of Geary. The ministers from September onwards are going to be leading worship at Blair Duff and Chapel of Geary on a rotational, regular basis every week. So in Echt Church, for Echt and Midmar, this week our worship is being led by members of the congregation, and we'll be using our joint online service of worship as part of the worship in the building. So we're really looking forward to that. It's a new way of working and going forward. The next in Midmar on the 12th, leading worship will be the Reverend Ian Thompson while I'm on annual leave that Sunday. Midmar Church is going to be open again on the first Wednesday of next month. We've had some issues with water and electricity connections up there, but the church will be open again for a time of reflection and contemplation. So looking forward to this Sunday.
Good, and I'm sure we all are. Stella, what's happening at Blair Duff Chapel of Geary?
Well, we're delighted to welcome Sheila and, of course, the other ministers here in rotation as we now open every week from now on. So the general rule of thumb, if it's odd and looks like a no, we're in Chapel of Geary. If there's an even date in the month, it's in Blair Duff. And that's pretty much an even split right through this year and next. And we're going to be tidying up after the wedding on the Saturday. So we're wishing all our best to Laura and Liam as they set off on their new married life. And just great to see the combines out there in the fields and our farmers keeping busy. So we wish them a safe and successful harvest. Thank you.
Thank you. I have to be honest, I'm still trying to get my head round or even when you're meeting. No doubt it will make more sense to me once I'm thinking it through. We also, from Blair Duff, Chapel of Geary, we've got Karen joining us. Karen is here to share with us, and she's going to be taking notes at our steering group meetings. So we just thought, we've been talking about that, Karen was involved, and it's a way of getting you to know Karen a wee bit. So welcome, Karen, it's great to have you with us. Joshua, what's happening at Kemnay?
Hello to everybody, nice to see you all today. In Kemnay, we're continuing with Sunday worship at 10 a.m. in the morning, and the broadcast of this joint service in the evenings at 7 p.m. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll continue running our lunch club at the church center, which runs from 12 o'clock until 2 p.m. And this is primarily aimed at people that we have tried to be of assistance to during the time of lockdown, vulnerable members of our community. So we'll continue with that effort during the coming week. We also have a meeting of Kirk Session coming up as well, and a meeting of Presbytery this coming week, which, of course, we're also looking forward to. So that's a bit about what's happening in Kemnay at this time, and more things will be kicking off in the weeks to come.
Thank you. And I love when you said that with a straight face, that you're looking forward to Presbytery. It's going to be special because Joshua is nominated as the new moderator of Presbytery, and we wish him well in that role that he's about to take on. Anil, you have a guest with you who's going to become a well-known face among us. Would you like to introduce your colleague?
Yes, thank you very much, Ewan, and hello, everybody. It's a great pleasure to welcome with us today the Reverend Tose Shaimunda. Tose is a minister of the Reformed Church in Zimbabwe, but he's in the process of transferring his ministry to the Church of Scotland. And so, Tose, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome, Mimi.
Lovely to have you here. Tose will be with us at Kintore for the next year as he does a familiarization placement and familiarizes himself with this new strange world of Scotland that he's been dumped into, he's landed in. But we're delighted to have him with us at Kintore. Some news about what's happening here is that the 19th, which is the coming up shortly, will be the first Sunday that we have Messy Church running again. So watch out for that. And then we're also aiming at the 19th of September as the first day when we have teas and coffees after church on a Sunday. Obviously, that's been closed for a while because of COVID, and we're going to be starting that up again. And the rest of the things are just the normal things that we do. Two things have starting shortly, not on Sundays, are a Wednesday night Bible study, which starts on the 8th, and that is A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Bible. Everybody's welcome to join us either in person, or there will also be a Zoom option if you can't join in person, and that runs from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And then on Sunday, the 19th, also the 19th, is a Meet Jesus course, which the idea there is that if you would like to prepare yourself for or explore the possibility of baptism or making a personal profession of faith, then you could come along to that. It will run for about 4 or 5 weeks, and we'll talk through what it means to follow Jesus. And at the end of it, you'll have the option, if you would like to either be baptized or to make a profession of faith. And obviously, everybody else in this group is welcome to come along to that course. That will run, on a Sunday night from 7:30 as well.
Thank you. A busy time had by all the congregations. I should have said one of the things of jumping in and starting is that next Sunday we're going to be having an afternoon coffee morning. That sounds wrong. An afternoon coffee gathering at one of our members' homes at Needley outside Money Musk. And that's running from 2 o'clock. You just pop in and pop out, and anybody will be made most welcome to attend. It's an outdoor event, so it'll be safer, and I hope that that's okay. And before I go, Stella's got her hand up, and I think you've just remembered something as well.
I just did. Our outdoor services are on the afternoon of the 5th at the Old Blair Duff Kirk, led by Ewan, and the afternoon of the 12th at Logie Durno Church, led by Neil. So both those services are at 2:30. So all welcome to come along to the outdoor services, and hoping for good weather. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm preaching this morning, so I'm going to be speaking about the difficult challenge of Jesus calling a woman a dog. And we'll be thinking what that is. You can work that one out. It's not an easy piece to preach on or to follow, but it's about persistent faith. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and worship him. And thank you for joining with us for this online presence.
A couple things I must say that during lockdown, time has had very little meaning to it. So we can truthfully claim an afternoon coffee morning with perfect justification, because who knows what time of day it is really. Also, the fact that Ewan's preaching on that difficult passage that he mentioned makes me feel a bit better about preaching on the book of Revelation. So we're not alone in these challenges. But as said in the blether, this is the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it, and we sing together our first song of praise, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Opening prayer, let us hear these words of Psalm 25. Let us pray. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I do trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my adversaries exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall ever be put to shame, but they shall be ashamed, those who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but according to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Amen. We continue now in worship with singing our next hymn of praise, Come, Holy Ghost, Our Hearts Inspire. Morning's readings from Scripture all come to us from the book of Revelation. Reading first from chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then 9 through 11, and then 2, 18 through 29. Hear now the word of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And chapter 2, starting at verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give to him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is God's word to us this morning. To the Lord be the praise and the glory forever and ever. So this morning, obviously, we're continuing with our series on this first part of the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament. And I think as we've heard these passages read aloud week by week, we perhaps gotten a taste of how challenging these texts can be, aren't they? And these opening chapters, they consist of seven letters written to seven different churches in the early days of the Christian church. And in previous weeks gathered here, we have heard a claim about Revelation made by the scholar Daryl Johnson, who writes that no other book of the Bible, Old or New Testament, presents Jesus as powerfully as the book of Revelation. No other book presents Jesus as powerfully as the book of Revelation. And why is this? It's because no other book of the Bible, says Johnson, does as much to show us how Jesus is with his church today, how Jesus is calling us as the church to live out our faith today. And in past weeks, we have heard how the term revelation comes from a special Greek word, apokalypsis, which sounds like what? Apocalypse, thank you. We've been listening, that's encouraging. And apocalypse, rather than meaning death, destruction, cataclysm, mountains, levels, seas rising, it simply means, apocalypse means to reveal, right? To reveal. This book reveals how Jesus is with his church today. Going back to Revelation 1:1, where it says, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, says this is the revealing of Jesus Christ. Right? And this book tells us that Jesus is very present with his church, even today. He is not far off from his church here, but he is in the midst of the church's life at all times. And today's letter that we just heard read aloud in chapter 2 is addressed to the believers in the city of Thyatira. Now, it is perhaps just a little ironic that this is the longest of the seven letters written to these seven churches. It's the longest by far. But out of the seven cities addressed, Thyatira is also the city about which we know the least. But with that said, I think there's still much that we can glean from this letter today. Regarding the city of Thyatira, we do know it was a very prosperous commercial center, and it was the home of many influential trading guilds. It was a home to guilds for wool workers, linen workers, color dyes, leather working, tanning, potting, bronze smithing, shoemaking, all sorts of trade and commercial guilds. So to be successful in Thyatira, one had to be a member of such a guild. And this presented a real problem for Thyatiran Christians. To have access to these guilds, to attain commercial success, they also had to participate in the rituals of the guilds. And this, of course, often meant emperor worship, again, the worship of other gods. And as was the case in the city of Pergamum, which was the last letter we considered 2 weeks ago, the believers in Thyatira were making a good effort to be faithful to Jesus. Looking again at chapter 2:19, where Jesus says, "I know your works, I know your love, I know your faith, your service, your patient endurance, well done, and that your latter works exceed the first, well done again." But this doesn't mean that all was well with the believers in Thyatira. Looking at verses 21 and 22 of chapter 2, Jesus says, "I have this against you, though. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to the practice of sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her immorality." Now, we don't know if the name of the woman mentioned was actually Jezebel, or if Jesus was calling her this name as a reference to a rather infamous character in the Old Testament named Jezebel, who, with her husband, the wicked king Ahab, tried to convince the Israelites that they could worship the Lord and also worship false gods such as Baal, B-A-A-L. And such an idea of worshiping the Lord and other gods at the same time, this was in direct conflict with a little something called the Ten Commandments. The first commandment especially, which says, "I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other what? No other gods besides me." Right there at the start. So whether in name or in action, what we do know about Thyatira is that there was a Jezebel in their midst. And look again at how Jesus will deal with such a person. He says, "I'll throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into a great tribulation unless they repent of their works. And all the churches will know, says the Lord, that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works." Wow. And if that sounds severe to you, I agree. Now I have a question for you. Raise your hand if you have ever experienced the sensation of jealousy. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced the sensation of jealousy. Every hand should be up, please. We're all human beings. Good. Hands down. We'll blur the faces so we can't identify online. It's not pleasant to feel jealousy, is it? It's a rather consuming feeling, right? In the pit of your stomach, it kind of seems to thrill through your whole body, right? And it's hard to avoid the idea that in this passage to the Christians in Thyatira, Jesus sounds jealous. Jesus sounds jealous. But unlike us, and here's the key difference, Jesus isn't jealous because of insecurity, right? Instead, The Lord is jealous because of a real threat from this person named Jezebel to his relationship with the believers in Thyatira. He sees her leading these believers astray. And in these stern words about Jezebel, Jesus is giving us and them, his followers, a real warning that if we go with spiritual compromise, that will lead to spiritual sickness, and that sickness will lead to spiritual what? Death. Compromise, sickness, and then death. That's what he's saying in this passage, if they follow the teachings of Jezebel. Now, to be clear, there are some areas of human life where compromise is a necessity, and compromise can even be virtuous. I can say this with great certainty as one who is happily married, that compromise is often a necessity in relationships. In other words, we do it her way. Only kidding. But for example, in the realm of politics, one party presents one good idea, another party presents an opposite, but perhaps equally important idea, two different ideas. And in order to get anything done at all, if they want to get anything done, a government has to find ways to what? Compromise. Right? In that situation, a compromise can be a helpful way to bring one good idea together with another for the benefit of everybody. A friend of mine a couple years ago working in the U.S. government said, you know, compromise happens when everybody gets something, but not everything they want. And a real democracy, for example, is based on compromise. Okay? All well and good. But compromise is an entirely different matter when it comes to the Christian life. When it comes to the lordship of Jesus in our lives, there is no possibility of virtuous compromise with other powers and with other ideas. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus famously said, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other." Now, we all know that in our day and age, we live in a marketplace culture, which means that we are accustomed to an abundance of choices. If we go out shopping for clothes, we have some shops that we will like more than others, but I would seriously doubt any of us would say, "Oh, I can only shop at H&M, right? Or whatever shop you prefer. Don't read into my preferences too much, okay? We would think someone very strange for saying such a thing. They can only shop at one shop. Like they are prohibited from shopping anywhere else. Mustn't compromise. That's odd. But we feel quite free to shop around, do we not? To find the best deal, to purchase the things best suited to our wants and needs. We haven't betrayed Primark if we make a purchase elsewhere, right? Does anybody feel differently? If so, we'll have a chat after service. We can pick and choose what we like in many areas of life. And for the most part, this is just fine. But this is not the case when it comes to following Jesus as Lord. In chapter 2, verse 25 of today's text, Jesus says, "Only hold fast what you have until I come." Only hold fast what you have until I come. Now, what does it look like to hold fast to something? Is it done with one hand or two hands? Not a trick question. Two hands. Is it done with some kind of half-hearted effort? No. Holding fast means to grab on and to hold on like your very life depends upon it. And that is how we need to hold on to Jesus, we're told. We need to hold on to Jesus like our lives depend on it, because they do. Wherever we go, whatever we do, the whole of our lives must be based on relationship with Jesus. And in our world today, we will all face pressure and temptation to compromise our faith, to keep our faith compartmentalized to one private area where it doesn't bother anybody else. We are tempted to occasionally or constantly put someone or something else besides Jesus at the center of our lives. One of the greatest, going off script here, one of the greatest lies we've ever been told in our society is that faith is a private matter. It means something to each of us privately, no doubt. But if we restrict our faith only to our private lives and to nothing else, our faith will die. Faith is meant to be lived out. There is no area of life for us in which Jesus is not Lord. We hear phrases like, business is business, that's just the way it is, and so on. And for Christians, these phrases are sometimes used to justify compromising our relationship with Jesus. Now, it's certainly true that no one is perfect. We're all sinners. We all get it wrong sometimes. We all fall short. But that doesn't mean we should be okay with that. It doesn't mean that we should make peace with our sin and say, that's just the way it is. No, we are called to repent and to actively hold fast to our relationship with Jesus, to grow more and more into him every single day. We are called to seek his face every day of our lives and to trust that his grace really, really is sufficient for us. And earlier I said that this notion of spiritual compromise leads to spiritual sickness, leads to spiritual death. But when it comes to following Jesus, the opposite is true as well. Spiritual integrity leads to spiritual health, leads to spiritual life. The opposite, right? And this is not about proving ourselves to God. What we're talking about here, spiritual integrity, spiritual health, spiritual life, these things are simply the effect of holding fast to Jesus, to the one who has done everything for our salvation, and trusting him to be sufficient for every part of our lives. Every day really is a gift. Every day really is a gift. And the events of every day present us with countless choices, some choices mundane, some choices important, but we're all presented with choices every day. As we go about our daily lives, through our work, through our play, through our relationships, we are faced with choices. Will we compromise our faith? Or will we hold fast to Jesus? As we face our choices, may God help us to make the right choice indeed. Amen. We continue in worship with singing our next hymn, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be. Let us pray. Loving God, how we long for your peace. How we long for your shalom to wash afresh over this world. Today, Lord, we are mindful and we pray for the country of Afghanistan, where so many of your children struggle to face tomorrow, who dread unthinkable things that may come to pass. As we hold the country of Afghanistan in our thoughts and in our prayers, in our minds and in our hearts, we do lament the culture of fear and sorrow and uncertainty being experienced by the Afghani people. And even as the military involvement has drawn to a close, we pray that you will inspire our leaders in this country and in others to maintain robust diplomatic pressure with the country of Afghanistan, that somehow your peace may wash afresh over their country. And we pray as well that in the time to come, that the Taliban would not revert to their previous ways of cruelty and oppression. Today we also pray for Africa, for Asia, and the Pacific, where new variants of the coronavirus are appearing and are understandably causing fear and apprehension. We pray, Lord, that these new strains of the virus may be mild and that means of protection and healing may be readily developed. Today we pray as well for recovery from the devastation of natural disasters in Haiti and in the United States. As we all continue to experience the impact of climate change, Lord, give us the collective will we need to be good stewards of creation and together to repair damage done to our environment. God of all peace, there is so much more that we long to share. Each of us here in this place brings so many stories, so many concerns, so many hopes with us. And so in the silence of our hearts, we take the next few moments to bring those concerns and those hopes into your loving presence. Loving God, thank you for hearing us and for welcoming us into your presence. As a sign of our trust in you, we now join our voices in the words that the Lord Jesus taught to us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the book of Revelation, we hear this continual challenge to hold fast to Jesus, to keep him at the center of every part of our lives. So in that same spirit, as our closing song, perhaps as our closing prayer as well, we now sing together, Be Thou My Vision. fast to Jesus. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to the living Lord and go out into this week and bear true and lasting witness to him. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know this day and forevermore.